It is time for our weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Several years ago, we made an ecologically necessary decision to return to dryland farming. One of the things I still miss is the absence of sunflowers growing right up to our door, for in summers past, we were often surrounded by a field of gold. As far as the eye could see, sunflowers sprouted in neat rows, then grew at a rapid rate to heady heights. Their bright faces opened to the east, thus welcoming us like thousands of the Queen's Guards each day as we turned into our drive. Curving through the field, I would feel I was in another world as I watched for munchkins to skip merrily out of the rows, singing about wizards and witches and yellow brick roads. But they never appeared, while I was looking anyway. Rather, the yellow was not on the road, but at eye level or higher, which brings me to the great question that I am still researching. Do sunflowers follow the sun, or is this a gardening myth of gigantic proportions? I've looked through all my books and find conflicting reports, or no reports at all. A trusted farmer friend has told me the stems turn until they open their seed heads, at which time they all face east. But I distinctly remember my botany professor in college explaining how the cells of the sunflower stems elongate on the dark side, away from the sun, thus causing the head of the plant to droop toward the light source. Did I dream this, or is it true? And if so, why did our summer sunflower crops continually face east, like a prayerful Muslim facing Mecca? If you can shed some light on this mystery, give me a call or an email at the station. And in the meantime, I'll go on searching my books when I'm not busy being entranced by those most wonderful of growing plants. During past sunflower summers, I would walk to the edge of the wall of gold and beyond to be surrounded by yellow-edged, brown-centered suns. Accompanied by bee buzz and grasshopper whir, the sunflowers had a hypnotic effect as I gazed at buttercup wave caps topping a green and leafy ocean in the middle of the prairie. Soon the discs would drop their outer petals, the heads hanging heavy as the sawtooth stems sawed and rustled in the first touches of fall weather. They continued to dry and shrivel until they were felled by the blades of a combine or an early snowstorm, whichever came first. But while they were still standing, I'd raid the patch and bring in an armful of the giant heads to hang in our evergreens as a winter feast for the birds. Helianthus annus is a plant that promises the power, warmth, and nourishment of the sun. It has many forms and names, from the invasive but edible roots of the sunchoke, or Jerusalem artichoke, to the trendy, more manageable, and multicolored sunflowers prized by big city florists. In Inca cultures, it was revered, and the flower's image was hammered into gold and placed in the temples of the Andes. Maximilian, or Mexican sunflowers, throw tall stalks of multiple blooms in late August, providing reminders to enjoy the sun's rays even as they begin to grow shorter. Russian sunflowers sport the giant 12-inch blooms on 12-foot stalks, and Italian sunflowers are reported to grow 40 feet high as they twine and vine. In China, the sunflower is a symbol of longevity. So the state flower of Kansas that fills our ditches and our fields with bright yellow blooms is quite the world traveler. I miss our own fields of gold, but I keep lots of those bright shining faces around in the nooks and crannies of my gardens to remind me that I live in the sunflower state.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Cindy Talley.